Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Wendy, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here today with our other two co-hosts, Krista and Shermin. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Wendy. This is Krista. Glad to be here with you today.
And this is Shermin. Hello, Wendy and Krista, and a warm welcome to all of our listeners out there. Today, we are delighted to have Dr. Tina Wang, also known as Dr. Tina Enerjoy, as a guest on our show again. She was with us quite a while back, but we're lucky to have her on again because Dr. Tina has a PhD in neuroscience, and she researched underlying causes of mental and cognitive disorders for over 18 years in academia. And today, she is a holistic healer for a happy and healthy brain. She helps clients release subconscious barriers that get in the way of personal, professional, and health goals. She gives talks, leads workshops, and gives interviews throughout the state of Washington and online. So today, we will be talking with Dr. Tina about the hidden obstacles most professionals face that keep them stuck, unhappy, and unfulfilled. Important stuff. We really would like to know about that. And I also recommend that you stay to the end of this interview. Not only will there be lots of good info, but Dr. Tina will have some other special goodies that you won't want to miss, and she'll talk about at the end of the interview. So welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio again, Tina. It's so great to have you back.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much to all of you, Shermin,
yes,
Wendy, and Chris. It's so nice to hear your voices again.
Great. Isn't it? I know. It's great to hear yours too. So
yeah,
we have a lot of questions for you today, and I know you have lots of great info, so let's just jump right in. We only have a half an hour, and I have a feeling that we could probably talk for hours to catch up. So we'll start with Wendy.
All right. So, Tina, can you let us know why is it that positive affirmations don't work for everyone?
Oh, that's a great question. I love this question because there's so many people that are taught, you know, we just need to think positively. We have to, you know, believe in what we're going to achieve. And that actually is true. Positive affirmations do work sometimes. But when they don't work, people can get really discouraged. And the reason why they won't work for some people is that we can't actually believe in what we're having positive affirmations for. So, for example, there is, you know, people say, oh, you have to incant, you have to just believe and imagine, you know, envision what's possible. But if there's a part of you that doesn't believe that it's possible, if there's a yeah but, you can attract the yeah but as well, the negative belief system as well into your vision.
So does that mean you're supposed to figure out an affirmation that you actually could believe, or how does that work to find one that actually is going to work for you?
Yeah, actually, that's a really great strategy. So doing it in baby steps, for example. So, you know, just as we're taught in health coaching, you know, if you want to achieve a goal of you know, opening your own business, and that seems like a too far off a distance, then envision baby steps along the way that you can imagine happening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a great way to do that. There's another way that you can do it is by releasing subconscious barriers as well, and that can because our negative experiences that we've accumulated through our lifetime can contribute to the way we think and so that definitely has an influence, and also our inherited experience as well, which I can talk more about at some other time. But that belief system is so powerful. There's a woman who teaches the growth mindset. Her name is Carol Dweck. And she believed, or she taught students in schools the belief that they could improve. And that one belief system took minority students, typically underperforming minority students, you know, African Americans and Native Americans in different populations, from the bottom to the top of their school district, just by changing that belief system. So that belief system is so powerful when we're fully 100% on board with, or if our belief systems are 100% on board with our goals. They're incredibly powerful.
Interesting. And yeah. what was that name again, Carol? What was her last name again?
Carol Dweck. And Dweck. And for listeners who stay to the end, I actually have all this down in notes that I can send to you if you go to my website. So I'll give you the details about that, how to find that at the end of the interview.
Great. All right, great. Krista, you have another question.
Yeah, Tina, you mentioned the barriers. So what is the secret or yet powerful barrier that sometimes gets in the way of our drive for success? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, that one is really, not very many people know about that one, and so I'm really excited to share that one. We have this concept. So if we have accumulative lifelong experience, or we do have accumulative lifelong experiences, and if they're negative, if we've had some trauma, and I mean trauma with a big T, meaning, you know, big trauma or little trauma, like just a fight with somebody that has bothered you for a day or so. These things can accumulate in our bodies, you know, and they can accumulate as trapped emotions or belief systems that we harbor and that we hold on to. And we can have these trapped emotions anywhere in our body. This is comes from a method by Dr. Bradley Nelson called the Emotion Code. And it's a primary code that I use. And these emotions, if they get trapped anywhere in the body, they can hinder our ability to be healthy. They can get in the way of, they can contribute towards disease. They can make it harder to recover from injury. They can interfere with our productivity. They can negatively impact our capacity for joy and relationships. So they're very, very powerful, actually, and I could go on and on about these. But when they get trapped around the heart, they can form what we call a heart wall. And a heart wall can get in the way of our ability to feel passion. And 93% of the population have heart walls. Some people have really thin heart walls, and some people have really thick heart walls. And somebody who has a really thick heart wall is usually very stuck in life, and life is very bland, but not happy. They just can't connect with joy. Whereas if you see somebody who's just got this crazy passion for life, and I know a few people like that, that's what no heart wall looks like. And that passion extends to other people, too. So it can be a passion for, you know, your children or loved ones, but also for hobbies and for your work and for meaning in life and for the little things in life, like when you're hiking, you know, a flower, for example, you know, the beauty of the environment. So that heart wall is really, I think, the key to unleashing passion in life.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So your emotional state is really what determines your perception of everything in life, right?
Yes.
How you view the world, and if you have this heart wall stuck in your mind, then you look at the world in a negative way. So that's very interesting. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I'm not even sure it's stuck in the mind. We think we see that it's around the heart. But there's lot of interaction between what goes on in the body and the mind these days. And there's more and more information confirming that, not only from, you know, Eastern medicine has known this for a very long time. They believe that emotions originate in the organs. But there's more and more evidence now that the enteric nervous system and even the heart, that there are emotions that come with the heart as well. And that evidence is just growing. We're at the cutting edge of it. But more and more is going to be known about it, I'm quite certain.
That's very interesting. So it's a physiological. You're talking about the heart wall as actually being a physiological situation. Well, it's also known that your physical stage can affect your emotions, right? Just by changing your posture, you can change your emotions.
Tremendously, yes. Yes, it's not we used to think that the head was separate from the rest of the body, but it is so much more integrated than Western medicine has ever imagined, I think. And they're starting to come around to that now. But it is, you can't separate the two. They're integrated. I mean, exercise is one of the best forms of antidepressants, you know. There's just so many, I could go on and on about the links, but we really do want to think about for example, the enteric nervous system is the stomach, the nervous system in the stomach, and there are more neurotransmitters that are associated with emotion in the stomach than there are in the brain. And we feel, when we ask people, where do you feel your emotions? Usually it's in places like your stomach or your heart, right?
Right.
So,
That's fascinating.
And I actually have an article on that.
New research that you're talking about here?
Well, I actually, I can tell you, I have an article on this topic on my blog. It's called Are the Emotions in the Brain or the Body? And so I would be glad to include that with the other thing, materials that I'm sending for listeners if they'd like to learn more about this.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you have another question?
Yeah, that's just amazing. This is such interesting material because you're so right when you said that you feel your emotions a lot in the heart and the stomach. That just really resonated with me. But I have, this is always a fun question. You have an F word, and that F word you say is killing your business. What is that F word that you talk about, Tina?
Oh, yes, and it's one that I can actually say on the radio. It is fear.
It is fear. Yes, yes.
And
I can relate.
Fear comes in. I'm sorry?
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm with you on that. Fear, absolutely. Talk more about it, please.
Well, fear comes in two main forms. It comes in with fear of success and fear of failure, right? And fear of success is one of those things that you guys could probably relate it more to because we're women, and I know we're also minorities, and to some degree, and we, as women and minorities, often have what we call, or what is called by social scientists, imposter syndrome. That idea that, you know, because we don't fit the stereotype of maybe somebody else who's in the same position. I know Wendy's a musician, right, a classical musician. And I don't know if, Wendy, how long you've been a classical musician, but I do know that the orchestras have changed substantially over the years. But they used to be mostly all white men.
Oh, definitely.
And,
that
they changed drastically when they started introducing screens so that they couldn't see who was auditioning, right?
Right, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And... But before that, like, you know, if a woman was in an orchestra, she would, and maybe even now, you know, if they were in an orchestra and they were the only woman or the only black person or whatever, you start to feel like, oh, I don't belong. Even if you can do everything that everyone else can, but better.
Mm-hmm.
We have these, it's just a, you know, we stereotype because that's the way our brain works. It's a way of, we have to categorize in order to help us make sense of the world, but it leads to stereotypes, unfortunately. And the stereotypes can not only hinder other people's perceptions about what we can do, but they also make us feel more unworthy as well when we're a minority. So these are really important things to think about, but these are things that we can overcome with releasing subconscious barriers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's so true, that we categorize. I always said that too, a little bit different, that we put people in boxes in order to make sense of our world. But then actually what ends up happening, what you're saying is, you know, it leads to stereotypes, and it actually creates more confusion than than making sense.
Yeah, it makes us, it definitely makes us categorize people in ways that may not be favorable. I mean, I'm lucky because I'm a mutt, which means that people look at me and they have no idea where I come from and they're trying to figure me out. In some ways, that's really nice because then I can be who I am. Although they do, I'm half Chinese and oftentimes they make stereotypes based on that. And they usually end up being pretty wrong when they do that. so that's pretty funny.
Yep. Yeah, I can relate to that. I have the same thing. I have a black father and a white mother, a European mother and an island father, and I'm in the States, and, you know, nobody can figure out. And it's great because people just kind of give up. And, you know, you can, you have more room and space to be yourself. I so agree with that.
Yeah.
So, but... Oh, I think I'm taking up too much time. Wendy has the next question.
If I can go back to the fear part, because I want to make sure that we're talking about the barriers in professional space. So one other thing about the fear of success is that we can have fear of success because it might threaten our role and our relationship. So, and we may notice that consciously, but we also may notice that subconsciously. Or not notice that, but it may be more subconscious. So, you know, if we're afraid that our friends and family won't be able to handle our success or won't be able to support us or will turn against us, that can get in the way of success. It can make it feel very scary. And the other thing is that in terms of fear of failure, it can be a tremendous motivating force, but it can also prevent us from taking further risks when things are more comfortable, right? So that's all I have to say about the fear of success and failure at this point. But
yeah. You know, I think we categorize other people, but it's even worse. We do it to ourselves. Is basically what I'm hearing you say, that we put ourselves in boxes. We limit ourselves. We have ideas about, you know, what we're supposed to be, or compare ourselves to others, and that ends up. You know, driving those fears of success.
And yeah, and I wouldn't say that it's all our fault, though. You know, I mean, yes, we have an internal, like women have an internal glass ceiling, and it is perpetuated by our surroundings, and we're not divorced from our surroundings. Our surroundings intimately affect us. But if we can control what goes on in our head, we are a huge leg up from every other minor, like woman, for example, who can't. Does that make sense? So, for example, you know, you guys are really accomplished women, and I would say I'm a pretty accomplished woman too. And we have let go of those glass ceilings more effectively than a lot of women have. For example, Elizabeth Warren probably has as well. You know, people who are, you know, women who are great leaders have let go of those glass ceilings more effectively than others have. And so, but we're still affected by them. We just are not affected by them as much.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's really good to be very conscious about what's going on in your own, you know, mind and body to, you know, have the best experience of life as you can have. So I will hand it over to Wendy now. Wendy?
Right, yeah, so I was just thinking while you were saying all this about fear and killing your business, what about the money side of it? What is the number one mindset that'll keep you from the all the money that you need?
Well, that is definitely the poverty mindset, right? And I think people mostly know if they have a poverty mindset, but it's a poverty mindset is when you are constantly panicking about money. Actually, it can take a couple different forms, but one is when you are constantly panicking about money, and so much so that you can't invest in your growth. You know, we all believe in the United States that it's okay to invest in education because we believe we're going to get money back from that, right? We believe that's going to pay back big time. But we don't seem to understand that value when it comes to our soft skills, quote-unquote soft skills, such as like social and emotional intelligence. But those are so important that for every 1 point increase on the emotional intelligence scale, it's correlated with a $1,300 increase in your annual salary.
Wow.
So those social and emotional skills are absolutely crucial to getting ahead. And especially when you run your own business, that's where, you know, you can't attract customers unless you're likable and liked.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You know, this lottery that's out there, like 800 million people who cannot deal with money or manage it well, many of them, whoever wins, could just lose it all. And so it's like,
yeah,
you have to really be able to have a good relationship with money, and that whole mindset thing is really important. Really,
and the other aspect about mindset is that some people believe that money is the root of all evil. You know, they just don't feel comfortable having money because it's, you know, of that saying, you know, and it's subliminally going on their head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true that money can corrupt you. So I'm not going to say that it can't. But if it is your concern, if you have if money, making a lot of money doesn't make you feel comfortable and yet you need it, you can write a written pledge to yourself about the values that you intend to uphold. And you can, you know, and just say, look, I'm going to do this regardless of my income. And then ask your friends and families to remind you of your pledge. You can put it up in a plaque and make sure that you keep seeing it. But there are things that you can do. As long as you pledge to maintain your morals, you won't turn into an evil person because of money. But you just have to keep that mindset. I mean, there's a lot of people, look to the people who are earning a money, a lot of money, and doing a lot of good, right? There are plenty of people like that.
Right.
So use them as your examples. Don't use the people who become selfish as your examples.
Great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Krista, you have another question?
Yeah. So, Gina, what's the biggest mistake professionals make that keeps them stressed and overwhelmed?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest one is that people in America, we are taught to be independent. We're the lone rangers, right? And we're taught that it's good to be able to do things on our own and, you know, bring ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But if we don't ask for help, if we can't ask for help, it can really impede our path to success. And I think a lot of people, you know, if they've, you know, I went through this. I had a lot of advisors that didn't serve me well. And so I started to lose trust in the ability of other people to help me. And if that is your issue, if that's what you're struggling with, then Brené Brown has a video called The Anatomy of Trust. And it's a wonderful video about all the different underpinnings of trust, and will help you understand trust better. But know that trust is based on our cumulative lifelong experiences, and that it can be released if you can't trust people. And what's really important is that you absolutely have to be able to trust people in order to succeed. You have to be able to trust that there are advisors out there. And it is important to be selective, and that's how I've accommodated. I'm very selective about who I put in my advisory role, but it has helped, you know, when I get the right advisors, they have, you know, I've had people that have just turned my business around because of the advice that they've given me, and it's been absolutely crucial. Brené Brown is one of those people whose advice even though I don't work with her personally, the things that she says have changed my perspective in life in drastic ways. So being willing to look outside for help and put trust in people is really crucial to success.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Having a trusted advisor is probably one of the keys to having a successful career.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly agree with that. Shamin, you have another question?
Yeah, so Tina, I understand that you have solutions for addressing these problems. Can you just tell us a bit more about those solutions?
Yeah, and I want to say that, well, what I do is I help clients release subconscious barriers, as you said at the beginning. And I can provide readers much more information about that if they get, if you're interested in the notes to what I've just said. You can basically go to Lifelong Enerjoy, that's ENERJOY.com/signmeup. And there you can get my top 10 tips for a happy and healthy brain. You'll get my I blog regularly about the hidden barriers to happiness. You'll be on that newsletter. And then you'll also get notes to this particular interview. And in there I have several articles about barriers to productivity, feeling stuck in reaching your personal goals, and when goal setting fails, in addition to notes and links to the things that I've talked about today. And in there I also have links about how you can listen to my interview on releasing subconscious barriers, the key to health and happiness. But what I do just briefly is a method called the body code. And it's, again, developed by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And it allows me to identify six major categories of underlying imbalances, including emotional, physical, energetic, which is like meridians and chakras, but toxins, pathogens, and nutrient imbalances. And we identify and release until the problem is gone. And it is amazingly effective, and we can address things that it's so powerful that I haven't needed to see the doctor ever since I started using it. And I'm constantly seeing and hearing from other practitioners incredible stories of transformation that happen not only in professional goals but health as well.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And I'm sure, you know, people would like to hear a bit more about that. So, it's lifelongenerjoy.com/signmeup. Would that be the page for people to go
yes.
to?
Yes. And I should say one more thing, that there is a code to get the notes, and the code is two words. It's hidden obstacles.
Excellent. Hidden obstacles. Excellent. So there's lots of great goodies there, guys. Make sure you go and sign up. And it's only for you guys. Hidden obstacles is the code. You know, Tina,
yeah.
I knew this, that we were going to have, you know, the time would go by like 2 minutes, and we're already at the half-hour mark. Can you believe it?
I know. It's crazy. And I have so many stories. I'm like, oh, I want to share these stories of success.
Well,
but,
we'll just have to have you back and do at least another half hour and tell those stories. Would you do that?
I'd love to do
Excellent.
That. I can't wait.
Excellent. Great. So we'll send you some other dates, and stay tuned, everyone. We'll have Tina back to spend some more time talking about this stuff, because there's lots more to this, and I know. So I know from personal experience with Tina as well. So I'm so sorry that we're out of time, but again, thank you so much, Tina, for coming on. It's just really interesting, and you shared just great information with us, as usual, with us and our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight.
Excellent. So we'll talk with you soon is what we'll say. We won't say goodbye. And thank you, our audience, also, for tuning in again today to Sky's the Limit Radio. We appreciate you for listening and following us, and hope you enjoyed our show today as much as we have. As always, the best way to get more information about upcoming shows is to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Sky's the Limit Radio. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. or you can visit us at our website at skiesthelimitradio.com to stay up to date on all the good stuff we have coming up for you. To listen to recordings of past shows you may have missed, go to blogtalkradio.com/skiesthelimit. You never know, you might discover that one episode that can make a difference in your life. Until next time, everyone, and remember, sky's the limit of what you can do. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye. Goodbye, Tina.
Bye, Tina. Thanks so much.
Bye. Goodbye, Tina. Thank you.